There we go. Now I'm on. Thank you, worship team. Be safe. Oh, when I watched that and heard those words to that song, I don't know about you, but I was wiping my eyes and blowing my nose. I'm blowing my nose anyway all week, but it's just, that's so true. Be safe. And as I watched that, I thought about how our Lord says that to each of us today, be safe. Be safe. We're doing a series on peace, and last Sunday we understood that peace is provided for us. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ has provided us with his peace. He's left his peace for us. We need his peace as a foundation in our life in order to achieve the peace that we're going to look at today. We're looking at peace or panic. There's no point to have in having peace with anybody else or any area of my life until we have the foundation of Jesus Christ as our source of peace in this life. And that's our foundation. Before you can have anything else, that's the foundation you need. So to have peace with yourself, you must first of all prepare for battle. And I invite you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Just one verse, 1 Peter chapter 3. It's a powerful verse as we look at having peace with ourselves. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. It says, he must turn from evil and do good. Now, I'm going to jump a little bit up there. I want you to look at starting at verse 10. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. May God add his blessing to his word this morning. To have peace with yourself, you must prepare for battle. I mean, if you no longer want to live your life in panic mode, then you want peace. And if you want peace, you're going to have to want it bad. Because in case you haven't noticed, we're still at war. And I'm not just talking about war in the Middle East. I'm not talking about what's going on with our troops. I mean, that's happening right now. But you are still at war every day because Satan is working overtime trying to steal your peace. Amen? And listen, Satan has more than one trick in his back pocket to take away your peace. You might be in panic mode today. And you might be saying, well, I'm panicking about this. I got this. I got that to deal with. You don't understand. You can have peace if you want it today. Because Satan is trying to take your peace. And that's why you're in panic mode. I remember when I was in school, which wasn't too long ago, high school and elementary school, and really it wasn't too long ago. You get that? Yeah. I would say to my mother, I would say, Mom, I have an essay due, a report due on the country of Australia, and I need to get it done. This would be like grade 7, grade 8. And can I have your help? Because I can't type. You're an expert typist. Can you help? And she'd say, yeah, sure. When does it need to be done? For tomorrow morning. We were in panic mode, okay, trying to get this report. I should say, my mom was in panic mode, trying to get this report done. And I mean, she'd be typing away. I mean, we'd be doing this till midnight, 1 a.m, and I'd say, I'm so tired, I want to go to bed. She'd say, no, you're not. If I'm staying up typing, you're staying up too. And we'd be, sitting there. I'd have to sit at the kitchen table, and she'd be typing away. But I tell you, when I went to bed that night and the report was done, I was at peace. See? The panic was over with. Satan has so many ways in which he steals your peace, and he wants to steal your peace. The Bible is clear that we are at war against principalities, against powers. He wants your peace. And so the battle begins every day. Now, there is definitely wars fought for us to have freedom, and there's definitely war going on right now in our country. But the greatest battle was a battle fought on a cross. On a cross. Battle against principalities and powers. Christ fought for you. Great news! He won! He was prepared for the battle. Every day you enter into a battle zone because Satan wants your peace. He wants you at unrest all the time. He wants you in panic mode all the time. Is he winning today in your life? Are you in panic mode? You don't have to be. And he doesn't have to be winning. The contemporary English version puts this verse this way: give up your evil ways and do right as you find and follow the road that leads to peace. See, every day, every single moment of your life, Satan will try and get your peace. Sometimes we hold on to it. We say, okay, you're not going to have it. I'm not going to go into panic mode right now. I'm not going to let that disturb me. I'm not going to let that situation get the better of me. I'm not going to let that person get to me. I'm going to make sure that I'm still at peace. And you may even go so far as to pray, oh, Lord, I'm feeling so unrestful right now. I just need your peace right now. And you just feel that calm. But I almost guarantee that we don't do that all the time. And then we start crying out to God, Lord, I can't believe this. I'm at unrest. I'm troubled about this. I've had a fight with my spouse. I can't even, Lord, I've had a fight with my boss. I'm not content. I've got to tell you that the Lord is teaching us something every day, but are we learning to guard our peace? You see, one way we battle our panic is by doing what Christ asks us to do. He outlines for us behaviors that he asks of us, and reading his word, and we pray to him, and we ask for his peace. But his word is very clear. Right in this passage, whoever would love life, I hope you're loving it today, see good days, must keep his tongue from evil speech, deceitful speech. Boy, if we would listen to that. If we would listen to those words and watch what we say and how we say it to people, how we feel, how we sit, well, that person, they must be against me. That person must think ill of me. Well, if that situation was totally different, you don't know what I'm walking through right now. If you knew what I was walking through, oh, I think I do know what you're walking through. Christ definitely knows what you're walking through, and he still says, my peace, I leave with you. It's yours. Take it. But you must look after how you behave every moment of your life. Prepare for battle. Prepare for battle. And as you do, as you prepare for battle, as you dig in the Word of God, as you try to live a holy life, as you try to please the Lord, Satan will do everything he can to take away your peace and cause you to be unsettled with where you are right now. You see, Satan wants your peace. And he doesn't want your peace to be at peace. He seeks your peace so that you won't be at peace. And they'll use different things against different people. Have you ever noticed that? There's some things that upset you. You're just, And I'm like, oh, that doesn't even bother me at all when that happens. And some things upset me, and you go, don't be in panic. It's okay. Everything's going to be all right. That's why it bothers us when we're in a panic mode. Somebody comes along and says, it's okay. Don't worry. God is with you. And you're going, you don't understand this. You don't understand what I'm going through. That's what panic does to us. Causes us to focus on the panic instead of on the peace. Could be something somebody's done to you, could be your health, your maybe what you're walking through, it could be your relationship with another person, could even be your workplace. Satan will use any means to destroy your peace. You must prepare every day for battle. John F. Kennedy said it well when he said, it's an unfortunate fact that we can secure peace only by preparing for war. Are you prepared for the battle today? Are you prepared? One way we prepare is we need to get to know what things cause us to panic and lose our peace. You need to think right now, okay, what is it that really troubles me that, oh, all of a sudden I start to go into panic because it's just not that way that I want it done or said the way I want it said? If you ever have a relationship with somebody else, anybody ever have any friends or spouse or anybody in your life? Anybody? Two of you, three. We'll be praying for the rest of you. Hopefully you'll get a relationship somewhere. Got to tell you, sometimes in relationships with friends or with spouse, there's always times where there's panic mode, unsettledness, unrest. And that's when we have to grab a hold of this verse, turn from evil, and do good. Seek peace, pursue it. You know, there are sometimes things in our life which happen, and we think, well, it's not going to cause us any panic. I can enter into this. It's no big deal for me. And all of a sudden, we're in it, and we're in the middle of it, and we go into panic. We're kind of like Linus here. Lucy comes up to Linus, her little brother, you and that stupid blanket. You'll be carrying it around for the rest of your life. That's not true, says Linus. I have tremendous willpower. Why, I could give up this blanket right today if I had to. So Lucy says, all right, let's see you give it up today. Linus said, good grief. What have I done? Ever been there? I remember reading that cartoon when I was young. I think it's a pretty recent one. And I had a blanket, and my brothers used to kid me about my little blanket. And I would carry my little blanket everywhere I went. And I read that cartoon, and I thought, okay, I can give up my blanket. And I did for a moment. Every day, Satan is trying to steal our peace, but there's a reason why he's trying to steal it. There is a purpose why Satan so desperately wants to take our peace away and cause us panic. And one of the number one areas we need to prepare for battle is with ourself. I mean, if you have peace with yourself, you'll have peace through your problems. You'll have peace in your relationships. You'll have peace in your health. You'll have peace in your job. One of the things that causes me to not have peace with myself is when I keep looking at myself all the time and try to figure out what is it that's wrong with me? What is it that needs to change so that I feel better about who I am? You see, if we've just spent half as much time trying to figure out what is right with us instead of what is wrong with you, you'd be so much happier and so much easier to get along with. I know what I'm talking about. I used to think that I was fat. And I weighed 110 pounds when I was in grade 12. And I used to think I was fat all the time. I wouldn't eat much. I played my food. My parents would get after me, you gotta eat more. And I keep playing and playing and playing with my food. And if I don't take that thought captive, I still think I'm fat. You know that? Now you're saying, wait, Deb, you got a little belly on me. You know it's coming. I do, though. I struggle with that. And I know that that's an error. And then when I started, you know, trying to eat a little bit and trying to get, you know, people would say to me, "Oh, Dev, you're so skinny. You know, stick your tongue out, turn sideways, you're a zipper." You know, things like that. So I thought, oh, man, I just didn't feel good. I never felt good about myself. Until one day the Lord just kind of woke me up and said, "Look, you're allowing this to happen to you. Stop it and start taking the authority that you have in Jesus Christ and start believing who you are, the person I created you to be, and accept yourself." Many of you today need to accept who you are. I'm not wishing to be anybody else anymore other than who I am, because I think God got it right with me, and he did the same for you. He got it right with who you are, because God doesn't make a mistake. Satan will make you think he does, but God does not make a mistake. Prepare for the battle and accept who you are. How can we ever have peace within ourselves if we're always wanting to be something we're not, if we're mad at ourselves because of what we are, or mad at ourselves because of all the mistakes we make, or constantly going around inventorying our sins and our weaknesses and our inabilities and our flaws and staring at our flaws and staring at our problems? You know what you need to do? We need to set our gaze on Jesus. And we need to glance at our problems and our inabilities. See, there's a difference between a gaze and a glance. Have you ever seen anybody in a gaze? That's how they look. You know, they're not even there. They're somewhere else. You know what I'm talking about. Most of you are there right now. You know. Deep focus. That anything that happens around you doesn't matter. You know? We need to learn to set our gaze on Jesus and glance at our inabilities and our problems. I mean, you know your weaknesses. And if you don't, you better start knowing your weaknesses, because that's where the enemy's going to start attacking you, is at your weakness. And I know my weaknesses. And then you better be content with your weakness. Because only when you accept who you are, you will have peace. And if you don't accept who you are, then you'll be in panic mode all the time. I've got to be this way. I've got to. I better keep up with so-and-so. Why can't that happen to me? Why can't I look like, oh, why can't I have that gift? Why can't I have it my own way? Why can't I be in control? I need to be in control of all things. Let me tell you, the moment you get over yourself and focus on the one who is in control and accept who you are, the gifts that you have, you will have peace. You will. Accept yourself with all of your flaws, with all of your weaknesses, and then you can accept other people with all of their flaws and all of their weaknesses. It's interesting. If you have a monstrous problem and you've got peace, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference, does it? If it's a monstrous problem. There could be somebody with a teeny tiny molehill problem, and the problem that may not even be a big deal to them, but the devil can use that to upset them, and panic sets in for them. They can have a tiny molehill problem, and they're miserable, and you can have a mountain of a problem, and you can be at peace. If you've got peace, what an example. And if you've got peace, then I know, and you know, and he knows that you've prepared for the battle. Get your eyes off of what's wrong with you and get your eyes on him, and you'll have peace. George Washington said, "To be prepared for war is one of the most effectual means of preserving peace." If you want to have peace with yourself, be prepared. Listen, be prepared. Because in all practicality, this afternoon, tonight, on your way home, tomorrow morning, somewhere along the line, the enemy is going to try for your peace. You think it won't happen? What's the devil trying to do to you? You just watch. He's trying to ruin your base of peace. He's trying to steal the peaceful base that God wants you to operate of by bringing something against you that you just get upset with. And you're so upset about because he doesn't want you to have peace. Every day, Satan will go after your peace. He'll attack your peace. He'll steal your peace if you let him. He'll destroy your peace. He will assault your peace. You need to be prepared to meet him, to challenge him, to battle him, to guard your peace. And remember that Jesus already won the war. You are the victor. You can have peace if you want it. Tomorrow we're starting the email Bible reading, and so that you're reading the Word of God every day and right there on your computer. And if you maintain that every day, reading those scriptures and spending just a moment or two, if you do that every day, you'll have read through the Bible in a year if you keep up with it. And then just read those verses, read the passages that are given there, and then thank God for being a part of your life and asking Christ for his peace, and you'll have it. If you haven't signed the list is still out there. You can sign it today. To have peace with yourself, you got to prepare for the battle, but you also got to pursue peace. You got to pursue it. I mean, we're always searching for something. Some search for power, others for comfort, others for some kind of relief. Some search for facts. I want the facts. Others, my own way. We're always searching for something. Well, 1 Peter says, and I love the way the Amplified says it. It says, let him turn away from wickedness and shun it. Let him do right. Let him search for peace, harmony, undisturbedness from fears, agitating passions, moral conflicts, and seek it eagerly. Do not merely desire peaceful relations with God, with your fellow men, and with yourself, but pursue, go after them. Now, that's a pretty accurate description of that verse. We neglect peace, especially in our relationship with other people, because we're not at peace with ourselves. We're not pursuing peace daily for our life. You have to pursue it. I want you to turn briefly to Psalm 34, if you can flip over there. I think I got time. Yes, I do. Psalm 34, a great passage. Originally, I was going to preach from this passage today, but the Lord directed me elsewhere. So, Psalm 34. And I'm just going to look at one verse there in Psalm 34. Actually, I'll start at verse 11. Sorry, I'm going to do more than that. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Look at verse 12. Whoever of you loves life, there it is again, and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Look at verse 14. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? That's the 1 Peter passage. They're the same words. Depart from evil and do good. Seek, inquire for, and crave peace, and pursue, go after it. Now, the word seek is a very strong word. It means to require as a vital necessity. How many of you know what vital means? It means you're going to die without it. I mean, if they check your vital signs, they're checking to see if you're alive. You know? If you don't have any vital signs, well, they get a little concerned. We need this. Peace is a vital necessity for life. Do you know when I finally realized that the Bible says seek the Lord? When I finally got it through my head that to seek the Lord, seek meant to require God as a vital necessity for my life. Seek. Go after it with everything you've got. If you don't have that thing, that you're not going to have a quality of life that's going to be worth living. Your panic button's always going to be pushed, so you go after peace. Seek it. If you go through the Bible, there's very few things that you seek. You seek the Lord while he may be found. You seek the kingdom. There's just very specific things, very few. I invite you to do that. Take time sometime. Just go through and look up the word seek in the Bible and see where the Bible says seek and says seek peace. Pursue it. Crave it. Ever had a craving? How do you act when you get a craving? You're gonna get it, aren't you? If you get a craving. And you know, like, it could be chocolate, could be craving chocolate. Horrible thing when you crave chocolate. Peanuts, you know, I'm craving something salty with some chips. Some people crave cigarettes. Craving. I was sitting watching television and a caramel commercial came on. And I began to drool. And I began to gaze. Oh. And I began to shake. Oh, they were eating this caramel. And oh, it looks so good. I think we have some caramels in the cupboard. I'm sure we have leftover stuff that might be 2 years old, but I'm sure there's a caramel in the back part of the cupboard. I'm sure I hid it there. I'm sure I hid it there. I'm down on my hands and my knees, and I'm going through the cupboard. I move all the other stuff that doesn't count, like, you know, that healthy stuff that Joan buys. Those rice cakes that don't taste like anything. And I'm looking behind everything, and it's gotta be. I'm sure I hid the caramel in here somewhere. I'm reaching behind in the very far corner of the cupboard. I'm going through the pots and pans, and I'm thinking, where did my caramel go? Where did I hide it? And so, you know, I'm still craving this, and I think, okay, what's an alternative, Dev? What's an alternative? So I put all the health food stuff back as best I could, and I remembered where Joan kept her baking goods. So I go to the baking good cupboard, and there's a little bit left of her bittersweet chocolate chips. It's not a caramel, but it'll tie me over. And so I pour in a little bit of the baker's, you know, summer sweet chocolate chips, and I'm eating these. Oh, they were so good. I'm sitting there. It was just like chips for me, and I'm eating this, and I'm dumping the container, and I'm, you know, just a few, though, just a little bit. And, I, you know, and all of a sudden, Joan decides to cook that day. Chocolate chip cookies. She goes to the cupboard, and she says, wait a minute. Where are my chocolate chip cookies? My lips are all chocolate. I don't know. I had a couple, you know, just a few to tide me over. I was looking for a caramel. You know. She said, you ate that last night. You know, like, that's what we do when we crave. If we do that with peace, crave peace. And then we're called to pursue peace. Huh, that's interesting. Pursue means to chase, practice, take up. How many times in a day does Satan give you an opportunity to practice peace? With your spouse, your children, your coworker, a friend, someone else, even yourself? Especially peace in our circumstance. Their problem. See, there is no promise in the world that we will ever be free from problems. But there's a promise to have peace in the midst of our suffering, in the middle of our problem. Peace. How many of you say that it's quite a challenge to maintain your peace? Don't show your hands. Just think about it. I can't tell you how many opportunities I have a single day, and every single day, to lose my peace. I've learned that if I want what I'm doing to be effective, then right here, there is one thing that I've got to hold on to. I've got to seek it. I've got to pursue it. I've got to crave it. I have got to want it more than a little bit. I need to be at peace right here within myself. Let me let you in on a little something. It's easy to have strife. It's a challenge to walk in peace. Because there's one important thing that has to happen. It's just going to have to happen if you want to walk in peace. And that is, you have to get your eyes off of yourself and accept who you are, just as Christ does. You see, I can't have peace. And you may think you can, but you can't have peace with anyone else, including God, until you have peace with yourself. Let me ask you a question. Don't respond, just in your mind, give an honest response. When you're frustrated, when you're upset, don't you normally end up taking it out on somebody else? So it stands to reason, if I don't have peace with me, I'm not too likely to have peace with my circumstances or with the people around me, and I certainly don't have peace with God. That's why it's so critical. The Bible says to crave peace, to seek peace, to pursue peace. It's so critical for your life. Thomas A. Kempis said, first, keep the peace within yourself, then you'll also bring peace to others. Blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus said. That's not just for somebody gifted with peace. That's something that we can all do. That's why he said it. We need to get our eyes off of ourselves in every situation and onto Jesus, the author and the finisher. Wait a minute. Usually we like to finish, don't we? The author and the finisher of our faith. Let's pray. While your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you, where are you focusing today? Where are you fixing your eyes? On who you are? What you think you should be? What you think you should do? What you should have done? Where are you focusing? You need to fix your gaze on Jesus, the author and the finisher. Let him do what he says only he can do. Let him not only author your faith, but finish your faith. Surrender to him this morning and you will have peace. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you're saying, Lord, I've gone too long myself. I've been trying to control everything. I've been trying to control, Lord, even who I am, what I should be. I've been looking at my weaknesses and being hard on myself. But Lord, you created me this way. For the first time, maybe you're saying, I accept my weaknesses. I accept who I am, Lord. If you're coming to him that way today, while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, just lift your hand. It'll just further underline the commitment. You're, Lord, bless you. 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 Just lift your hand. Lord, I accept who I am. I accept my weaknesses. I want to be at peace. I want to be at peace. Maybe today you're saying, Lord, I've been trying to just sort out all the stuff that's happening around me. I've been in panic mode because I need to sort it out. And maybe you just need to surrender it today to him so he can sort it out. Not you, but him. While every head is bowed, every eyes closed, you've come to him that way today saying, you sort it out, Lord, not me. You sort it out. I just want your peace. Lift your hand. Just lift your hand. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Father, this morning, we have heard about peace and how, Lord, we can choose it. Forgive us, Father, for when we so often choose to be in a panic. Lord, we're hard on ourselves. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy. Father, today we pray that just as they do for any war, they prepare for battle. And may we do that. But may we also pursue peace, just like any war does. The outcome The goal is always peace. So, Lord, we remember today not just those many wars that have been fought through the years, or the war that is happening even right now, Lord. We pray for our troops. We pray for those who are at war. We pray, Lord, that they would be safe. But more than that, too, Lord, we pray that we would be safe as we go into the battle zone every day of our life. We surrender it to you and ask for your peace. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.
Let's just respond to God. We know that we have peace because we have hope in Jesus Christ. So let's sing On the Solid Rock.